الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, we apologize coming late today. May Allah forgive us and evaluate our shortcomings. I think one issue is that the time for Salatul Asr has really changed. These days, it will not be Asr until it is about 4:15. But many of the mosques still say, I heard an Adhan at 3:55. That is mostly out of it. Salat at 3:55 is not acceptable. Salat at 4 o'clock is not acceptable. So let's remind the people in our various regarding this issue. Salat at 4 o'clock is not Salat last. May Allah forgive us all. So that will make, if we have to start making Salat al-Asr at 4:15, 4:20, you know, our 4:30 time will be obstructed. So this was one major reason that held us up. The second one was when I came, I couldn't find a place to park. So I had to go and come back. May Allah forgive us. We are on the seventh nafil, and nafil al-sadr in our book, Nawakid al-Islam. The Imam said of Sahih. We now know, inshallah, we know the meaning of Sahih. And he said, وَمِنْهُ الصَّرْفُ وَالْعَبْفُ يعني من السحر. From among the examples of Sahih is الصرف. The Sahih people make such that a woman becomes hated by her husband, or the husband becomes hated by his wife. He would abstain from her. He would disgust her. And that's the husband's attraction, connection. So these two forms of sihr will be made such that the man will be attracted to the woman, and the woman will be attracted to the man. He will not know. He would explain these two forms, I think, in the first discussion on sihr. And let's not forget that we are talking about Nawakid al-Islam. And we had said that there are two forms of sihr. The sihr that has to do with al-uqad wal-ruqa wal-talafu. The sihr that has to do with nur and talisman and incantation. And that we said, the ulama say this form of sihr is shirk. We explained some details about that. And the second form of sihr that has to do with al-adwiyat wal-aqaqir, mixing substances and medicines together. In the second one, it will not have to do with inviting jinn. And the first one, it has to do with inviting them and pleasing them so that they should cause harm to a person. We explained that this first aspect is shirk or kufr, but it is this second aspect, the ulama say it is kabiratun al-kabair, the major sin, but it does not go up to the level of shirk or kufr. It would mean that the afu and sarf we are talking about, that the shaykh is referring to, that is a nafid of Islam, is the up or the sort that has to do with the first category, that has to do with invoking him and sending them to do that job between husbands and wives. I hope this point is clear. فَمَنْ فَعَلَهُ أَوْ رَضِيَ بِهِ كَفَرًا فَمَنْ فَعَلَهُ whoever does it, whoever does al-adfu or sort or sihr, generally speaking, فَقَدْ كَفَرًا. That is when the sihr has to do with the first category of sihr. If it is the second category of sihr, it is kabira, a major thing. It's not an act of kufr that takes somebody out of Islam, which is the point of our own discussion in this book. It says, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for saying that sihr leads to kufr or constitutes kufr, the evidence for that is the same the Quran that Allah says, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحْدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ. We explained this verse in the last class about the rulings of kufr. The ulama say the kind of kufr those people were involved in, that Allah mentioned, the shayateen who came, who were claiming to have gotten sihr right from Sulaiman, or the two angels, Harut and Marut, who came to try the people of Babil in Iraq. The kind of sihr the first people were the first category of sihr. Sihr that has to do with inviting them and pleasing them so that they could carry out nefarious activities against innocent people. May Allah protect us. So this is our point. This is the real issue we are discussing. But we promise that today, inshallah, we will look at sihr from the aspect of protection and sihr from the aspect of cure, ilaj. We look at sihr today, inshallah, from the aspect of seeking protection from Allah. And we look at sihr also from the aspect of a person already has sihr. What do you do? The ulama say one of the rulings of sihr, uqubatu sahir, the punishment to be meted out to a sahir, somebody who bewitches people, male or female, is al-qatl. The person should be killed. And they gave examples of Hafsa radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was bewitched. And the person who bewitched her was confirmed and killed. There are other examples. That Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to the people in the region that they should find all those who are involved in sihr and kill them. The ulama say this aspect of uquba, punishment, that is meted to them, repercussions of sihr, does not have to do with whether that sihr is one that leads to shirk or the one that is just a major sin. Any form of sihr that the person was involved in, the punishment is set. Shaykh Hussain rahimahullah explained this point. He said the reason is that sihr is causing harm. When a person is under sihr, he is harmed. If it is a woman, she is harmed. If a man is under the spell, let's call it a spell, or if a man is bewitched by the wife to love her, he continues to weaken him in his mind until he doesn't even know what to do. And like one of the scholars says, until he begins to behave like a vahima, like an animal, a beast, following the woman all around. So because of these harmful effects, sometimes the sihr people have is the feeling of inexplicable illnesses. A month ago, I was told about a woman who got involved in a physical, in a verbal exchange with somebody. And the person said, okay, we will see. She went home 2-3 days later, her mouth was turning to the back. She is a principal of a school, and the person is a student, is a teacher in the school, student teacher in the school. Her own husband is an associate professor in medicine. So you will know they take her to hospital, they took her to the hospital, they made diagnosis, they did all that. No result, nothing was wrong with her, and this is her mouth going to the back. We will not rule out sihr. The lady could have made a sihr to her. The lady could have made a sihr to her. So there are cases, a lot, inexplicable things you can't explain. Medical science doesn't have explanation for it. They don't. There are many things medical science can't explain. Yes, we have things like saying hallucination. We have what Yoruba call okoru. We have explanations for all things like this. There are recent researches that a man could be having sexual intercourse in his dream, that it is an illness, and they have developed medicine for it. Go to the next, you see. They have things like this. They say somebody is hallucinating. They will categorize some of these things under psychiatry. But there are cases, my brother, that are completely out of that. They cannot say it is psychiatric. Like this case. A woman's mouth is going behind her, turning towards her left and behind the mouth. You know, she will be looking so haggard and fearful. How does medical science explain that? And after all tests, we cannot find anything responsible. How can medical science explain? So, how does the Muslim protect himself? Because sometimes those things can even happen with somebody you don't have any disagreement with. A person just looks at you and is displeased with you. It's okay, I will do make special to you. He won't even tell you, he just goes behind you, conjures a dream to come, or mixes up some things as we explained, and then he says, okay, let's see the effect on him. And the man begins to see the effect, maybe from his dream. The man was sleeping and dreaming, and in his dream he saw that he was being flogged. In the dream, medical science doesn't have explanation for that. Somebody is sleeping in the dream and he's being flogged, and by the time he wakes up, there are signs of flogging on his body. What kind of rays? Is it X-rays or gamma rays that produce the effect of the flogging on the body? Medical science cannot explain. Medical science cannot explain. So, how does a Muslima protect herself? What does Islam ask us to do? How do we protect ourselves? Fortunately, Allah told us in the Quran, says, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And man is created weak. Allah says, we are weak. So somebody who is weak, Allah created us weak. The shaitan and the witch come together against one you, weak too. Yes, the Quran said to us that inna kayda shaitana kana da'ifa. Kayda shaitana kana da'ifa. That the plot of shaitan are also weak. Now, but there are two weeks against you, weak. Two weeks. The person is sending the shaitan against you, or making the sihr against you, and the shaitan or shayateen he may be employing. Sometimes they employ more than one. There are cases when you make ruqya, the jinns will be telling you that there is a case of a sister that was being given ruqya, and the jinn during the ruqya, we are saying that, look, we are many here. Not me alone. So don't, even if I go, I'll leave my children and things like that. So all those weak, and the human being that is weak, that is conjuring the jinn to cause harm to the innocent Muslim, all against him. So you will see that the situation will require that we know how to get out of the situation. But the ulama say, basically, those plots are weak, man is weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. So one ضَعِيف causes ضَعِيف. So the one who is strong is the one who runs to Allah. So how, what do we do? The ulama say the first kiss, the first fence. Brothers, the first fence we all need to build for ourselves is the fence of al-ikhlas. Ikhlas. Making our deen for Allah alone. Because we have understood that we cannot face shaitan. The ulama say even while we want to read Quran, we say, A'udhu billahi fuck. Mina shaitan al-rajim. You run away from shaitan and you take refuge with Allah. So it means if you want to take refuge with Allah, you must be determined to make that refuge for Allah alone. Allah, it is in you alone that I take refuge. And that refuge is the ibadah. Taking it for Allah alone is ikhlas. So two things put together. Al-ibadatu wa tahqiq al-ubudiyyati lillah. Al-ikhlas wa tahqiq aw tahqiq al-ubudiyyati lillah. Being sincere and making sure that our worship is for Allah alone. If you want to perform salah, you are performing that salah for Allah alone. And you are performing the salah correctly for Allah alone. That is the first way of running to Allah, taking refuge with Allah against shaitan. And shaitan says, whoever has those two things, shaitan, confess that he will not have power over him. Shaitan said, anybody who has ikhlas and who correctly worships Allah, I will not have power over him. Allah told us the story of how he asked Adam alayhi salam to bow down. He asked Shaitan to bow down to Adam alayhi salam in Sod. And I think somewhere in Hijr. And Allah said, "Ukhruj minha fa innaka rajim wa inna alayka la'nati ila yawmiddin." Go out of this place, Shaitan, Iblis, and my curse will be on you till the day of recompense. Says, "Qala rabbi fa anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun." Oh my Lord, let me live alone. Let me live long till the day you will raise them up. Allah says, "Qala innaka min al-munzarin." You will be amongst those who will be made to wait. That means who will be made to live long for as you have asked. So he says, "Fabi'izzatika la'ubwiyannahum ajma'in." By your power, Allah, I will mislead all of them. Shaitan was boasting to Allah. Gawaya. He says, he will mislead all. La'ubwiyannahum. If he had said that, it is sufficient. In Arabic lexicology, it says, la'ubwiyannahum. He has sufficiently emphasized the statement that certainly I will mislead them. He now added, he says, ajma'in. All of them together, I will mislead them. But he gave an exception. It says, illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. Mahallu shahid. Except those people I will not mislead, those people I will not have power over, they are those amongst your servants. Ibadah. Man haqqaqa lillahi ibadah. Al-mukhlasin, mukhlisan bivalika. Any person who makes ibadah, it says, illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlasin. Ulama of Quran will say that it's riwayah of al-mukhlisin. Illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlisin. Except amongst those who are tiresome. Not just ibadaka. Not just those who worship Allah. Not just worshiping. Not just making azkar. Not just leaving the beard, ikhwan. Not just raising the trousers alone. Not just veiling the face. Not just wearing jilbab. Not just making azkar. But making it what? Mukhlisan lillah. Making sure that you are doing it for the sake of who? Allah. Shaitan said, those are the people that you will not have power over. Those who make deen sincere for Allah, and those who give services to Allah sincerely, you will not have power over them. Allah said something similar to that in the Quran. He says, "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan." My servants, those who serve me, and somebody cannot serve Allah if his Islam is not there. If it is not for Allah, Allah will not say ibadi, my servant. But because the ibadah is for him, so even when he said ibadi, he has connected between the ibadah and what? Ikhlas. Dear brothers, let us all watch it. I should watch it. You should watch it. All our acts of ibadah, all our azkar. When we wake up in the morning, we know the zikr. It must be for Allah alone. When we go to bed in the night, we know the zikr. It must be for Allah alone. When we perform salah, when we read Quran, when we teach, when we learn, when we go to the masjid, when we come back from the masjid, when a woman obeys her husband, when a man deals with his wife, when a man provides for his family, all these things are acts of ibadah. They must be done for Allah alone. When you do it for Allah alone, shaitan will not have power over you. When you do all this for the sake of Allah alone, shaitan will not have power over you. Not to be seen, not to be applauded, not to be thought and comia. That is not the reason why you did it. You are doing it for the sake of Allah. Ikhlas. It is a difficult thing. And another person cannot do it for you. I will check myself, you will check yourself. So the first thing, the first chism, al-hafim, al-chism al-hafim, fortified fence against shaitan is to make sure that all our ibadah are for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the point of reference? Go two or three verses in the Quran. Where Allah made us understand that whoever makes ibadah for Allah alone, shaitan will not have power over. Because shaitan boasted and is actually our enemy. Look at it. The person who is bewitching somebody, shaitan misled him. Yes, once a person invites shaitan and says, "I want you to go and slap." I was informed about a young girl. A young boy. His father makes rukia a lot. And inside their house, it was said that a jinn slapped the boy and his cheeks began to swell. They do that. If you make rukia, don't only protect yourself. Make sure you are also making protection for your family. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to do that. He was not only seeking protection for himself, he was also making it for his family. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was not doing it for himself alone. As he did for himself, he was doing for his family. Each of us, brothers, make sure if you are somebody who goes out early, make sure the women make azkar for children every day, morning and evening, as you make for yourself. As you build the fence for yourself, make sure the fence is built for your children and, of course, the women. Because if the jinns come sometimes when the witch sends them, if they don't and cannot reach you, they could reach somebody near you. This is the reason why Yorubas have one, another shirk. They treat that shirk with another shirk. I know a brother who does it. And on that basis, his wife sought to separate from him. The brother had animals, sheep, in the house, with the belief that if a seer is coming to him, it would rather go to the sheep. Yorubas have that belief. And for that reason, many of them rear sheep. Yes, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-ba'atatu fil jannah, the hadith is sahih. Al-Imam Bukhari reported it in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-ba'atatu fil jannah, there is barakah, there is blessing in taking care of sheep. So if I see sheep in your house, I will believe that you are rearing them, taking care of them because of this hadith. Likewise, horses. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that al-barakatu ma'akudatun ala nawasi al-khayl. Al-baraka ma'akudatun ala nawasi al-khayl. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, Imam Ahmad al-Fasad hadith, the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, the baraka is on the forehead of a horse. So if I see a horse in your house, I believe that you are following this hadith. Although the Prophet said also in another hadith that those who rear the sheep are better than those who rear the horses. So all we are saying is that it is allowed to rear these animals. But don't rear it because you are afraid that if a sihir is coming to you, if it does not reach you, it will go to the animal. If it is zulm, for you to be bewitched, it is also good for the animal to be bewitched. If it is zulm, if it is injustice, transgression for you to be bewitched, and it is actually transgression, it is also transgression that the animals are bewitched. So as we seek protection for ourselves, the animals too, they need to be protected from things like that, because the animal will be harmed. The animal will face difficulty. The animals will face pain when they are bewitched, when they are harmed by those creatures of Allah. So, don't keep animals for that purpose. What we are saying is that as you fortify yourself, fortify your family. And the first fortification we have to have is the fortification of Ikhlas and tahqiq al-ibadah. We gave the evidences. The second thing we'll mention about protecting ourselves from sihr. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "La taj'alu buyutakum kubura." La taj'alu buyutakum kubura. Don't make your home to be like graveyard. There are many ways. Don't make your home a place where you will not make nawafil. Because nawafil are not allowed. Yani salatu, that is ruku' wa sujood. The salat that has to do with ruku' and sujood, they are not allowed that we make them in the graveyard. But we can make salatu janaza in graveyard. That is funeral prayer. There is a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "La taj'alu buyutakum kubura." Don't make your home like graveyard. That is, perform nawafil inside your house. فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Because the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is read, لَا يَدْخُلُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ لَا يَدْخُلُهُ شَيْطَانٌ. He said, no shaitan will enter a house تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ الْبَقَرَةُ in which Surah Al-Baqarah is read. It means, dear brothers and sisters, another way of protecting ourselves from being bewitched is by doing what? Reading Surah Al-Baqarah in our houses. I have seen it before. Somebody was not around and everybody in the house was in. Everybody was in. When people recite Surah Al-Baqarah, the following day everybody became well. Everybody was in yesterday. Al-Baqarah was read and everybody became well. So recite Surah Al-Baqarah in a riwayah. If a shaitan or shayateen had been in the house, when you recite Al-Baqarah, they will run away. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةُ لا يدخله شيطان, no شيطان, including the one that the witch has sent to harm you, do not come to you in your house. Surah Al-Baqarah is your friend. In another hadith, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, فَتِقْرَأُوا سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَدْخُلُ بَيْتًا يُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Like the meaning of the fourth hadith. No shaitan will come into a house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is read. Some of us may say Surah Al-Baqarah is long. The maximum it will take a good reader is 2.5 hours. A good reader should read at least one juz in 1 hour. The second juz in 1 hour. And Al-Baqarah has 2.5 ajzaqo, 2.5 juzuzko. So it means he has 2.5 hours to read Surah Al-Baqarah. Don't take it for granted. Read it. Sometimes a ruqya session will take more than 3 hours. So instead of spending 3 hours to make ruqya every day, because if something happens, if sihr is done to somebody, one of the ways of removing the sihr is by using Surah Al-Baqarah. The sihr will go bismillah. So instead of curing, using Surah Al-Baqarah 3, 4, 5 days, because it is allowed. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's be mentioning it together. We may not have time to go back to how to kill. Most of what we need to do to protect ourselves are the very same things we need to cure them when they happen. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported that one day some people came. They had a man in their family. That man was disturbed by a jinn to the extent that they always have to chain him. This hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud. They always have to chain the man. If they don't chain him, the whole family is in trouble. You know what that means? I myself have experienced it. I started the ruqya and the man carried me and stoned me on the door. So I just waited there, gently. And I continue to recite Ayat al-Kursi. We are coming to that. Before I came in, I was reciting Ayat al-Kursi. Say, oh, you are the one that came to call. You are the one that came to call. He grabbed me down. He told me at the door. Ordinarily, he cannot carry me. So I knew he was not alone. In fact, he was not himself. Because when I lie down there, I was reciting Ayat al-Kursi. I did not get wounded. Bismillah. When I was reciting Ayat al-Kursi, he became calm. He now said, Brethren, you are the one who I knew if he had known, he wouldn't do it. So he wasn't the one. In such situations, if you are making ruqya and something like that happens, just calm down, continue to recite your Ayat al-Kursi or whatever you are reading. Because in those circumstances, they are more harmed. They are disturbed. A brother in doing a ruqya, a surah was read. It is one of the surahs that disturbs jinn and witches a lot. Surah to surah. وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفَّةً فَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا إِنَّ إِلَهَكُمْ لَوَاحِدٌ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ إِنَّا زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ الْكَوَاكِبِ وَحِفْظًا مِّن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. By the time you get to this verse, the evening light, you start seeing differences. The way I read this verse, ulama say, when do you care, that is how to read. We should raise our voice and make it charged. Because the person hearing it will know Allah's name is read. When the voice is charged, it will also charge and disturb the jinn. They feel uncomfortable. So, at that time, the brother started shouting, he's in Malaysia now doing PhD. Alhamdulillah, Allah has cured him. That is another thing while during Ruqya. We said that few times. When during Ruqya, when you do recitation, you must be hopeful in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must be hopeful that I am doing this and I hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When medical doctors prescribe drugs to their patients, are they confident that those drugs will work or not? They are very confident. In fact, after diagnosis, and they think that a particular drug, maybe 200 mg is too small, they can increase it to 400 mg, so that they can be hopeful and confident. Likewise, you, when you are making your ruqya, you are the doctor now. When you make your ruqya, you must be hopeful. You must have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is going to cure this person. Some people, when they make ruqya, they are scared. That fear sometimes it is shaitan that brings it to them. And when they are scared, they lose hope. And Allah, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, He does not answer the dua from a hopeless mind. Make sure you are not hopeless when you make your dua. Ikhwan, be hopeful in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even after the first reading, the first day, second, third day, you have not seen differences. Be hopeful. Because even when you take drugs, the headache does not go one day. The anti-malaria you have now, apart from those ones that say single dose, you may take 2-3 days, you are still trying to battle with malaria. And these illnesses are far greater and worse in their consequences than malaria. So you must be patient. That was why I was bringing that hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud. That companion, the jinn, was disturbing the whole house. So they came to them and said, a prophet has come to you. What does he have? Does he have anything with which we can cure our brother? One of the companions went. The one who was in Asitan, he went there. And I started to recite Suratul Fatiha to the man. In another riwayah, I said, I read Suratul Fatiha to the man for 3 days. And when he read Al-Fatiha, he kept the saliva, and at the end of it, he blew it on the man. On the third day, the man became cured by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we are saying is that sometimes you may need to repeat some words when you make ruqya. The dalil from that hadith of that companion, that he read Suratul Fatiha, and it was during the lifetime of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he read Suratul Fatiha, which is Ruqya. The Prophet called it Ar-Ruqya. So he read it to the man three days. There are other issues ulama have mentioned. The point we are saying is that instead of reciting these things for cure, recite it for protection. You'll be freer, you'll be calmer, and you will not have been disturbed. They say prevention is better than cure. Sometimes people are lazy at their altar, but my brother, during the time of Ruqya, I don't have a test. The brother that I was talking about was writing a master's thesis. He abandoned the master's thesis. When he read, he's not talking about what he's reading. Allah has cured him, alhamdulillah, he's doing a PhD now. So what we are saying is that take your time. People may complain and say, oh, Al-Baqarah is long. Al-Baqarah is long. There is a reprieve for us. Because Ad-Din Yusuf, our deen is easy. Bismillah. In this hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِأَلْفِ عَامٍ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah, 2,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, Allah has a book with Him. This is evidence that part of Qadr is that Allah writes. We'll come back to this when we begin to discuss issues of Aqidah. So this hadith, it says for 2,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth, He has a book containing some writing. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أنزل منه آيتين He sent two verses from that book, فَتَمَ بِهِمَا سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةَ. Those two verses he brought from that book he had written, he placed them at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يُقْرَآنِ فِي دَارٍ ثَلَاثَ لَيَانٍ فَيَقْرَابُهَا شَيْطَانٍ. لَا يُقْرَآنِ فِي دَارٍ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّانٍ فَيَقْرَابُهَا شَيْطَانٌ. These two verses will not be read for 3 days in a house, and any shaitan comes near that house. The last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, that hadith is reported by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan. The last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, if they are read in any house for 3 days, no shaitan will come to that house. What does it say? آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. You see, the verses themselves talk about Iman and return to Allah. The verses themselves emphasize Iman and what? Returning to Allah, hoping in Allah, reposing your confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. You see, لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. What we do not have the ability to bear, don't put it on our head. وَعْفُ عَنَّا. If it is a sin that we have sinned, don't make that a means of punishing us. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Forgive us. وَارْحَمْنَا. Show mercy on us. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are our protector and helper. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Help us against these people we live with. كُفَّار. Who will conjure devils and send the devils to us? Because any person who invites a devil, conjures it, and sends it to another person is making kufur. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. The Prophet said, لَا يُقْرَآنِ فِي دَارٍ ثَلَاثَ أَيَّامٍ فَيَقْرَأْبَهُمَا أَوْ فَيَقْرَبُهَا الشَّيْطَانِ. These two things will not be read in any house for 3 days, and any shaitan comes there. Hold it, read it in your house. If the entire Al-Baqarah is lengthy for you, two verses from Al-Baqarah must not be too lengthy. Don't say, I will play it in cassette. Read it yourself. There are differences between the two of them. Don't say, I will play it in cassette. Read it. You read it. Because when you read it, you'll be protecting your house and you protect yourself as an individual. Read it. Read it. May Allah protect us all. That hadith is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and it is an authentic hadith. So the first thing we need is al-ikhlas and tahqiq al-ibadah lillah. The second thing we need is being frequent with Surah Al-Baqarah. Being frequent. Recently a woman was disturbed a lot with jinn. To the extent that they will be telling her, you are reciting Baqarah, you will see what will do to you. She said one night she was making Qiyamul Layl. She's an half of Quran. She was making Qiyamul Layl. And she saw an idol. I'm sure Yorubas will call it Kudidi. She saw an idol in front of her having a stab in the stomach. She intensified it. And she said that she's not feeling any disturbance anymore. So, recite Al-Baqarah. When you recite it from the beginning, you may be feeling more uncomfortable. The discomfort may be more. Recite it more. Yes, recite it the more. I'm aware that when they give us anti-malarials, when we take anti-malarials, the first, second day, we feel more malaria too. And that doesn't make us stop our anti-malaria. So one of the procedures of healing is that initially you may find some discomfort. It is when they are discomforted that they go away from you. I've also heard about a brother making Qiyamulayn. He had some issues with the people in the community. So they sent the same thing to come and harm him. He said he was making Qiyamulayn. He didn't even touch him, but he could not come near him. The jinn could not near him. Don't let fear make you stop your Qiyamulayn or your azkar at that time. Because that is the real thing, the greatest weapon of shaitan is fear. It says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ يُخَوِّفُكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ Shaitan makes you fear him, cronies. Allah says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ Don't fear them, fear me. In kuntum mu'minin, if you are true believers. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, I think somewhere in Araf or An'am, they threaten him, they say, we are going to cut you harm. Our Lord will invoke them to charm you. Ibrahim said, are you the one who should fear or I'm the one who should fear? I have Allah. So you are the one who should be afraid of my Allah, what he will do to you. I'm not the one who should be afraid of this, your idol. So don't be afraid. The fear is another issue. In fact, fear needs another ruqyah. There are some individuals, they can't walk in the night. Once they are, the night falls, they are tremor, they quiver out of fear. When you start quivering out of fear, don't forget, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ Recite it, and Allah will fortify you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid against weak miscreants. When you are afraid, that is what they want to achieve. Ikhwan, don't forget, the second point is about Surah Al-Baqarah or the last two questions in Surah Al-Baqarah. The third issue, Ayatul Kursi. The third thing, everybody, the one who has not been bewitched, the one who is already bewitched, and the one who is curing somebody that's been bewitched. All these things are meant for us. Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very, very interesting narration. There's a hadith of Abu Huraira. We know the hadith that he was placed in charge of zakawat. And the shaitan will come to steal from the zakat. That is evidence that they steal. Sometimes men have money in their house. They will accuse their wives to have stolen the money. Shaitan could have stolen your money. It did not happen to Abu Huraira alone. It happened to many companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including Muaz ibn Jabal and Ubay ibn Ka'ab, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, Abu Usaid al-Sulami. About six or seven companions had narrations about shaitan during the last time of the Prophet Muhammad, coming to steal from their property. So the first issue around that, my brothers, is don't say your wife stole your money. Shaitan can steal your money. May Allah protect us. So Abu Huraira in that hadith said shaitan will come to steal the zakah he was placed in charge of. And he will catch it. He came in a human form. That is evidence that shayateen can come in a human form. Because there are people who don't believe it. Al-Mu'tazila. They don't believe that the shayateen can come in human form. And today there are some Muslims who are thinking that they are elites and academicians. They don't believe that shaitan can come in human form. This hadith of Abu Huraira is evidence against them. Abu Huraira said, shaitan came in human form. Because at the end of the hadith, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Atarif ma kunta tukhatib man kunta. Do you know the person you were talking to? He said, I don't know. He said, Zaka shaitan. In a riwayah, he says, Zaka shaitan. That is a shaitan. In a riwayah, it says, Shaitanun binakra. There is an issue around those two words. What we are saying is that in this hadith, when Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu held shaitan, shaitan said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, allow me to go. Abu Huraira said, no, you have been begging me the first and second time. This third time, I must make sure that I take you to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And the Prophet had told him that he will come back. When Abu Huraira complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that somebody came, he said, grab him. He said, so I left him to go. The Prophet said, don't worry, he will come back. And truly he came back. That is evidence that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yantiku anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyu yuha. He's been told in the wahyu. That is evidence that the Prophet had a wahyu apart from Quran. He wasn't there with Abu Huraira, but he told Abu Huraira, don't worry, he will come back. And Abu Huraira didn't tell him from the beginning that it was shaitan. In fact, he didn't know who it was. He said, but don't worry, that person will come back. That thing you saw will come back. So how did the Prophet know, alayhi salatu wasalam? In huwa illa wahyun yuha. So when the man came back on the third occasion, Abu Huraira grabbed and said, today everybody must see you. You are seeing Masu today. Everybody must feel this peace today. He said, please let me go. He said, no way. You must be known. So he said, let me tell you something. He said, Iza awaita ila firashika. When you lie down, hold it, brother. Today is the day of Nankaliko. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Iblis, sorry, Abu Huraira said, the man said to me, Iza awaita ila firashika, when you lie down your bed, he said, Fakra ayat al-kursi, recite ayat al-kursi. When you lie down your bed in the night, recite ayat al-kursi min awwaliha hatta tahtum al-ayah. From the beginning of the verse until you complete that verse. La yazalu alayka, la yazalu alayka min Allahi hafizun. You will continue to have a protector from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you lie down your bed, recite it. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. There are two problems that we may face. The problem one, those of us who don't know it at all. Brother, go and learn it. If these things we are saying can destroy people's lives, go and learn it. That is the essence of reading it. The second issue is that some people will read it and they read it either badly. They'll be reading it incorrectly. It's not wala ya'uluhu la. Go back and learn Ayat al-Kursi. You need it now. If before you are saying that you don't want to learn Ayat al-Kursi because it's too long, you want to pray, you think that you are pleasing, you think that you are providing some benefits to Allah when you recite it in Salat, Abi. Now that you have to benefit yourself, now that you have to be the beneficiary, learn it. So Iblis said, when you recite it from the beginning to the end, لَا تَأَخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. When you read it like this, to the end, Allah will make a protector to be with you, a guide. Go, a guide. G-U-A-R-D. Go and be guiding that man. Not only that, وَلَا يَقْرُبُكَ شَيْطَانٌ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ. No shaitan. No shaitan will come near you until the next day. Ayatul Kursi. Not 10, no. Not 50, no. Not 13, no. Not 313, no. Not 124,000, no. You know all those numbers that I'm talking about. Only one Ayatul Kursi. Read it well and sleep. That is the reason why a Muslim may not have hujjah on the day of Qiyamah, going to Babalawo, Alufa, and those Afas in the church, people go to. Why should you have this with you? You have gold. You want to replace it. There's something in geology we refer to as false gold. It's an iron, they call it it's an iron sulfide. It's called false gold. It's almost like gold. In fact, the glittering nature of it, it gives us more than gold. So when you explore an area and you find it, some people do not perform both field tests and lab tests to confirm that they have discovered gold. So they run to people to say, oh, I don't see gold. Well, it is not gold. It is false gold. Why do you leave gold and then you take false gold? It's false. So when you recite it, Allah will protect you. He will send someone to guide you till the next morning. In a report in Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla by Imam al-Nasai, it says, if you read it in the morning, Allah will give you a guide from the morning till the night. Guide. Not escort. Because escort cannot see that shaitan when it is coming to you. He'll escort it. When Malakul Maut came to one of our presidents and took him away, did escort him, by two of our presidents. No escort. If escort, it were possible for them, the 3 years old, for them to see them, they would have attempted to fight Malakul Maut. That one is from Gaib, this one is also from Gaib. Yarakum huwa wa qabiluhu min haythu la tarawnahu. They see you, you don't see them. So your escorts are not as effective as this one. What is effective for you, recite Ayatul Kursi in your morning. As you make Salamu Alaikum Salatu Subhi, put your Ayatul Kursi. You know that day you have insurance for the rest of the day. And as you finish Salatul Maghrib, you lie on your bed after Isha, to sleep for the day, you throw another Ayatul Kursi. You have another guide guiding you till the next morning. When Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu explained this thing to the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sadaqaka wa huwa kazoob, he has told you the truth even though he is an ardent liar. That person is a liar, but this one he told you is what? True. That when you recite Ayatul Kursi, no shaitan will come near you. Like I said, this kind of incidents happen to many companions. And the story of Ubay ibn Ka'ab, his own was a bit terrifying. Ubay ibn Ka'ab had a herd of sheep, so he will go and take care of them. So he complains to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet, they are stealing my sheep, oh. You have animals, livestock. Today you come, you take stock. And one is missing, two is missing. Tomorrow you come, three again. So he came to report to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Something is happening. The Prophet said, go and watch what is happening. So one night, Mu'adh ibn Jabal made the guide. He himself was being a guide of his animals. Ubay ibn Ka'ab. Ubay ibn Ka'ab is the one that Allah told the Prophet to read the Quran to. And he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Samani Rabbi, Did Allah mention my name? He said, yes, he started crying. The Allah called my name? It means it's for VIPs. The greatest VIPs in the world. Somebody that Allah called his name, oh Muhammad, go to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, let him read the Quran to you. He's one of the best reciters of the Quran, Ubay ibn Ka'ab. And he has one thing. Ubay ibn Ka'ab one day heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that al-humma, headache, or hotness of the body, fever, that Allah uses it to expiate sins. So he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, beg Allah for me, that Allah should give me fever every day, so that all my sins will go before I meet him on the day of Qiyamah. Ulama said that is the reason why whenever you touch the body of Ubay ibn Ka'ab, his body is hot. There are two of them who did that to the Prophet Muhammad. The second one was who? Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The two of them, and they are from the best reciters of the Quran. Kuzul Quran and in Arba'in Ko. So Ubay ibn Ka'ab went that day to be the Nagaid himself, radiallahu anhu. So he said he just saw something like a gulam, a young boy, muhtalim, that has grown to maturity. He said, just saw it in the middle of the animal. So I say, ya hadha man anta, oh you, who are you? A insun anta or min al jinn anta? He said, are you a human being or from amongst the jinn are you? The man said, or the creature said, I'm amongst the jinn. He says, so how do I know that you are from amongst the jinn? He raised the hands up. Ubay ibn Ka'ab said, the hand is like the hand of a dog. The head of a human being, the hand of a dog. This one happened during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad. If we say, now we in Iran, we go run. Ubay did not run away. He said, so what do you want? The animal said, we have heard information that you give sadaqah a lot. So we come to take our own share of the sadaqah. Ubay ibn Ka'ab said, what will I do so that you don't come back again? Radiallahu anhu. Tell me what I will do so that you don't come back again. It says, فَمَا الَّذِي يُجِيرُنَا مِنْكُمْ مَا الَّذِي يُجِيرُنَا مِنْكُمْ. What is that thing that will protect us from you? You shaitan, you jinn. What is it that we will do that will be protected from you? It says, هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ That's the آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي. هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ Ayatul Kursi, that verse, you know it, Ayatul Kursi. And when Ubay ibn Ka'ab went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Sadaqa al-Khabir. The nasty thing has told you the truth. Umma alayhi sultah. The Prophet said to alayhi sallam, Sadaqa al-Khabir. The nasty thing, the idiot told you the truth. So he said, I'm a jinn, and he showed him. He had of a human being, the hand of a dog. This is evidence that it is possible to see jinn. There are some Muslims who believe that you can't see jinn. This hadith refutes that position. Not only that, in the future that they came, because Mu'adh Ubay saw it and was even conversing with it, said, show me how you are. I said, the head of a human being, the hand of a dog. So if you see something like that, many of the brothers in farm, you walk in farm. This hadith, the Prophet said, the hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, be careful of moving in the midnight. Because at those times, Allah has creatures that He releases. He releases them in the midnight. So be careful about moving in the midnight. So sometimes those people who live in the bushes, maybe as farmers and all that, they see many things.
They can come back and say they saw social thing, they saw social thing. Don't say it's a lie. They could have actually seen it. Some of them can be stealing their yams. Some of them can steal their property, steal other things. And unfortunately, some of them can come to harm them. Because things like this are very common in the hinterland. I'm sure we understand what I'm saying. Sending jinns, using jinns, calling jinns. In fact, those people who live in the city, when they want to start to make sihr of using the jinns, they go to those places. They say they want to go and collect power. You want to go and collect the power of shaitan. And it is not power because Allah says it is weak. They want to go and become mushrikun. Because once they begin to have that connection with the shaitan, he misleads them. That's why Allah said, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. The vow that Iblis made with them, he has fulfilled it. What is that vow? He said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ I will mislead them. Ulama say that is the meaning of that verse. وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. For ظَنُّ Iblis is his promise that he will mislead the people. Allah says he has already fulfilled it. So we have seen it today. Someone says he wants money now, he starts going to look for something. Someone says he wants to become chairman of a party now, he starts going to. Somebody wants to become governor, he starts looking for something that is not love. It is Allah that gives it, like we said in the last class. Nabi Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he wanted power and authority, what did he do? Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. He prayed to Allah. Beg Allah. Beg Allah. Allah is the one who places people in authority. And it is from his khususiyat. From the things that nobody does apart from Allah is that putting people in authority. Who makes day to come from the night and night from the day? Can any other person apart from Allah do it? Likewise, authority. Nobody can place somebody there, nobody can remove somebody. If it happens to us in our vision, the way we think, we see that it was somebody, we are just seeing it. Allah only uses those people as sabab. It is Allah that places somebody in authority, and it is Allah that removes somebody in authority. What did he say? قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءَ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءَ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah is mentioning things that nobody can do it to another person except Allah Subhanahu. So if you want authority, why not ask Allah? فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ. When you have a need, ask Allah. فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ. If you need assistance, فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. You should seek that assistance from Allah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. You should know and understand, if all the people come together, Wallahi, I don't think, as we have just seen in our past history in the last 10 to 15 years in this country, I think 1993, that time I was one of those who voted, may Allah forgive us, hoping that Nigeria is going to have a president in MK or Abiola, all over, north, central, middle east, south, south, southeast, northeast, northwest, north, middle, everywhere. Bashir so far, even in his word in coming, he lost MK or Abiola. But because Allah is the one who gives authority, Allah said no. Shoneko never thought he would become a leader in this country. The man was sleeping somewhere. They come and wake him, say, oh, now you will go give. Allah is the one who gives power to people. And the one who had the power, not only that, he also has the gun. You know what I mean? He had the power, he had the gun. People were demonstrating, we don't want you. He told the army, roll out the tanks. Kill as much as you want. We will know those ones that are remaining for us. All these people are disgruntled their elements. You remember this expression? When the time Allah says he will be president is over, Allah came and took him away. No soul died along with him. And another person who never dreamt of, whose retirement letter had been signed, that he's going to retire, was called back. Come back. You can't go to retirement. You are the one we are going to make head of hey. Who gives power to people? Wallahi, it is Allah. He never took it. They signed his retirement letter. They signed, and the one who became a president after him was begging Allah. Shortly before that time, Allah made me alive. You remember? He was begging Allah, please don't kill me. I still want to leave. They said, no, you did a coup. From the prison, they brought him out. Come, come and be president. And he became president again. 8 years. Why are you going to become a mushrik because you want to become a leader? If Allah has not written you as a leader, wallahi, become mushrik 20 times, you will not have anything. Not only that, Allah can make you miss leadership and then you lose everything you have. There are people like that. They will contest election after all these things. They will spend money. They will spend their iman. They will not get anything. And all the money and possessions they had will go back to waste. They will start begging again. Fresh. Become contractors. May Allah protect us. The control of everything is in the hands of Allah. Don't become a mushrik because you want to become an elected officer. Don't go and start looking for Babalawo. Babalawo cannot make you a ruler. If Babalawo knows something that for which or through which somebody can become a president, he would have done it for himself. Now who knows life better than him? If he knew and he's sure that if I do this thing, I will become a president, he won't do it for you. He will do it for himself. Why go to him? ضعف الطالب والمطلوب وما قدر الله حق قدره. The reason why they go to them is that they have not placed Allah in his rightful place. Don't forget, the third thing we have to take on regarding protecting ourselves and making ruqya is the issue of what? Ayatul Kursi. Let's quickly go to the first and the fifth. The fourth one is Al-Mu'awwidhatayn or Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, as you wish. The two chapters of seeking protection. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sayyid al-Khudri said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتعوذ من الجار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم used to seek protection from the jinn. وعين الناس and the eyes of people. The Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, he would seek protection with Allah against the jinn and the eyes of people. You should do it too. Don't take your life for granted. Seek protection of Allah from eyes and from jinn. It says, Hatta nazalat al-mu'awwidhatayn. He continued to do that until the two chapters came down. Falamma nazalata akhadha bihima. وَتَرَكَمَا سِوَاهُمَا. When the two chapters came down, he left every other thing and started using only Al-Falaq
and an-naf. Falak an-naf. Al-falak an-naf. If you don't know Al-Baqarah, if you don't know Amana Rasul, if you don't know Ayatul Kursi, I think you should know Al-Falak and An-Nahl. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَكِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
The Prophet used to make askars before alayhi salatu wasalam. When these two came, he was using them alone. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, he reported a hadith that one day himself and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were between Al-Juhfa and Al-Abwa. They were traveling. He said, فَغَشِيَتْنَا رِيحٌ وَظُلْمَةٌ شَدِيدًا.
Suddenly, a wind just came and darkness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one companion were traveling.
Wind just came. With darkness, covered them. Alayhi salatu wa salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uqba ibn Amir says, فَبَدَا يَتَعَوَّزُ بِالْفَلَكِ وَالنَّاسِ. As it happened, the Prophet started reciting Al-Falak and An-Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَكِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ. To the end. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. To the end. And then he says, يَا أُقْبَى قُلْ أُقْبَى. Say. أُقْبَى said, I remain silent. Say, what should I say? قُلْ. Say, what should I say? Three times in the riwayah of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i. Three times. He was saying, قُلْ. You say. Say, what should I say? He wanted him to say قُلْ like him. He said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. He said, I said so too. And when I finished, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, مَا تَعَوَّذَ مُتَعَوِّذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا. مَا تَعَوَّذَ مُتَعَوِّذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا. No person makes istiazah. No person seeks refuge with Allah like something like this thing. There is nothing you can use. In another hadith, also in the report of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, he says, Ala ukhbirukum bi afdali ma yata'awwazu bihi al-muta'awwizun. Should I not guide you to something, the best of what those who seek the protection of Allah, seek protection? Should I tell you? قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He says, tell us, O Messenger of Allah. He says, Al-Falaqu and An-Nahl. So the best of what we can seek protection with. Who said so? The Prophet Muhammad. Al-Falaq and An-Nahl. But like I said to us once, we had a discussion like this with somebody. And when he told me, talked to me, I said, Abba, the reading Falaq and An-Nahl at all times. He said, ah, they don't know any other thing. Because those people have spoiled them, that they must tie something for them, that they must stick one needle, put it somewhere, that they must leave something, that they must put something on their head, you know, things like this. May Allah protect us. Al-Falaqu and An-Nahl. Read it at all times. When you, sometimes, this happens a lot. There's a research now that 75% of the working class in Nigeria are disturbed with stress. They are stressed up, they are tired. So when stress comes, depression follows.
And usually the way it comes is that in the night, that thing will not allow the person to sleep. He wants to lie down, he's thinking, hey, in the office, hey, after that, he's thinking, this one, I owe him money, this one, I owe him money. Even this April salary, they have not paid. If I pay, if I collect it, I will share it to the people I'm paying money. My children's school fees, my wife's shop, as it's common with everybody, their wife must have a shop. The shop, something's happening there. You know, they start thinking. So he will find it difficult to sleep. When he now sleeps and ever wakes up in the night, the mind is disturbed again. So therefore, what you should do, recite Al-Falaq and Anna. Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq min sharri ma khalaq. Repeat it. As you repeat it, I tell you and I assure you, those thoughts will go off your mind. It is shaitan that is bringing them to you. Inna shaitana. You can whip awliya'ah. It makes you people fear. Shaitan brings fear to people. So, recite Al-Falaq An-Nas very regularly. Another thing of protection. Waking up in the night, Qiyamul Layl. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked about Qiyamul Layl and he mentioned about three benefits for it. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّهُ دَعَبُ الصَّالِحِينَ. Qiyam al-Layl, standing up in the night to pray, فَإِنَّهُ دَعَبُ الصَّالِحِينَ. That is the practice of the pious people. Some of the ulama say, don't come and say you are a pious person if you don't wake up to pray in the night. The second thing he said alayhi salatu wa salam, وَهُوَ قُرْبَةٌ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Standing in the midnight to pray, Qiyam al-Layl, is قُرْبَ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ. It brings you, it makes you close to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, وَمَنْ حَاسٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ. It also protects you from committing sin. When you stand up in the night, if you don't know anything, you know Ayatul Kursi, you know Al-Fatiha, you know Ayatul Kursi, you know Falak An-Nas. You can be reciting them. The ulama say, in Qiyamul Layl, you can repeat one surah many times. The ulama say, in Qiyamul Layl, you can repeat one surah many times. So that your Qiyam will be long. They gave evidence with some ahadith and asar. So you can recite Qiyam al-Layl, your recitation finish. If you don't know the surahs that are long, recite Al-Falaq and An-Nas. Recite it, repeat it a number of times and sit down and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a man who was told to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man will sleep from the night till the next morning. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ذَاكَ رَجْلٌ يَبُولُ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ. That is a man that the shaitan is urinating in his two ears. The man slept from the night till the next morning. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said, that is if the man did not recite ayah.